Welcome back to the Energized with Dr. Marisa podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Marisa, and I'm here to help you rock your hormones, optimize your metabolic health, and feel energized in your body so that you can age powerfully and wake up feeling amazing in your body for many years to come. Let's jump on in. Hey, one more thing. Did you know that one of the biggest nutrient deficiencies that I see in people, especially women, is a magnesium deficiency? It's because we burn through this super mineral so quickly. Now, this powerful mineral packs a massive punch because magnesium is involved in over 600 reactions in the body. Now, it is your best friend if you need more energy, better sleep, a faster metabolism, improved digestion, and not to mention happier periods. And you can quickly replenish your magnesium levels with my Essentially Whole Magnesium Restore supplement made with my favorite form of magnesium, magnesium glycinate. Use promo code podcast and get 10% off your entire order at drmarisa.com/magnesium. Now I'll have the link in the show notes for this episode to make it easy. Go and try it out today. Here's something I know every woman can agree on. Stubborn belly fat can feel like the worst, especially when you've tried everything to lose it. Not to mention, belly fat can be dangerous for us too. According to a brand new study, women over 40 who have excessive belly fat are up to 20% more likely to suffer a heart attack. And no surprise, hormones are involved in belly fat production, which is actually good news because we can optimize your hormones and metabolism for a flatter stomach. And that's exactly what I'm offering to you as a free gift today. My Belly Slim Down Guide gives you 3 effective strategies to get rid of belly fat, along with recipes to reduce bloating, balance your blood sugar, and speed up your metabolic furnace to optimize fat burning. So grab the Belly Slim Down Guide with my proven protocols and recommendations and recipes now at drmarisa.com/slimdown. That's drmarisa.com/slimdown, and the link will be in the show notes. I'm no stranger to health conditions. And the one thing that I always anchor to when I am on a health journey, and honestly, how often are we not, right? There's always things that we can do, levers that we can pull to continue to optimize our health. But that one anchor is what I eat. I know that food is powerful and that it has the power to reduce inflammation, keep biomarkers in optimal range, and to aid the body on a cellular level to really heal. So it's no surprise that what you eat has a powerful impact on your metabolic health. Nutrient-dense whole foods supply energy to your cells and provide molecular instructions and information to your body to help repair tissues, fight infection, build neurons, produce hormones, and stimulate bone and muscle growth. Eating a diverse, nutrient-dense whole food diet is filled with life-giving nutrients that are critical for building a metabolically healthy body. And I know I speak about that a lot, but at the end of the day, I believe that every thought that we have, every movement that we make, every emotion that we feel is really dependent on the quality of our cellular energy. Now, if you would love to do a deeper dive in how to create metabolically healthy meals, I want to just offer that opportunity to go and check out episode 535, and it gives you a comprehensive breakdown. Because today, I'm actually not going to be focusing on the foods that heal our bodies. I'm going to be focusing on the foods that are sneaking our way into our bodies and really causing havoc. So we know that there are certain food-like substances, however, that jeopardize our cellular health by spiking our blood sugar, raising our triglycerides, cholesterol, even our ApoB levels, or simply add too many empty calories devoid of essential nutrients that our body deserves. In addition, some foods contain chemical additives, toxins, preservatives, added sugars that ultimately promote system-wide inflammation. The standard American or Western diet is filled with thousands of these fake foods, and many experts believe that play a key role in our nation's metabolic health crisis, in the world's metabolic health crisis. And it's important to note that metabolic health is about long-term trends, not a single meal that you have on a holiday. Your body can adapt to the occasional fast food meal or high-carb dessert, but how those meals affect us, spiking our blood sugar or leaving us feeling blah and fatigued, is essential feedback that helps us limit those foods over time. While nutrition is highly individual, if you're looking for a way to simplify your diet and reduce or cut out some of the most harmful foods, these five categories are an excellent place to start. And it's no surprise that these same five food categories are eliminated in every one of my programs, but most importantly, in my 14-day detox program. Because when we eliminate these foods, even for 14 days, our metabolism, our health, our hormones, man, they have a massive turnaround. And I've seen it time and time again, over and over, with 7,000 plus people who have participated in my detox program. So if you are interested, you know, as we are, you know, getting to the end of April 2024 in resetting your body, reducing inflammation, and really nourishing your body with life-giving foods that can shift your biomarkers and have you feeling more energized and firing on all cylinders, I want you to know that I'm kicking off a new group. This will be, I want to say, like my 14th live group ever. And there is still time to join. I believe that I literally kick off this new group in a week from now in early May. Now, I will have the link in the show notes to check out the detox in full to see all the different packages to join. And I promise you, you will find one that meets your needs. So let's get on into it. The first category that I want to focus on is the category I think we all know, which is sugar in all of its forms. There are good reasons why some experts advocate regulating sugar in the same way we regulate alcohol and cigarettes. Repeatedly eating too much of any kind of sugar can cause several forms of damage to the body and really drive insulin resistance. A 2018 systematic review and meta-analysis found that consuming added or naturally occurring sugars increased inflammatory markers in the body, a precursor to chronic disease. And new research indicates that both sucralose and fructose decrease insulin sensitivity and increase fat in the liver, so causing fatty liver disease, conditions that can eventually lead to insulin resistance and non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, respectively, which ultimately lends to things like diabetes, obesity, and cardiometabolic disease. It's wise to limit our consumption of sugar overall, but avoiding added sugar as much as possible is one way to limit overall intake, which can help improve your long-term health. Today, it's common to ingest up to 66 pounds of added sugar per year. Yeah, isn't that crazy? On average, the U.S. population still consumes more than 300% of the recommended daily limit of added sugar, which in itself is way too high. Like, the standards are out of control, and we need to shift those in general as well. But a diet high in sugar, which is typically high in added sugars, particularly high fructose corn syrup, can lead to health problems such as obesity, prediabetes, and type 2 diabetes. And I cannot tell you how heartbreaking it is that, you know, I look at labs almost every single day regarding women in midlife. And I would say that 1 in 4 of the women I look at have prediabetes and are often not even told that they have it. Type 2 diabetes, heart disease, dementia, fatty liver disease, and then some, you know, just low fatigue, brain fog, right? There's a lot of what I call subtle symptoms of too much sugar in the system, right? Insulin resistance and blood glucose variability that's driving mood swings and anxiousness and sleep problems and, you know, cravings, just not feeling good, hot flashes, night sweats. I mean, the list goes on and on. Now, the primary sources of added sugar in the American diet are sweetened beverages. So including sports drinks, coffee, tea, fruit juices, and then we've got desserts, sweet snack foods, and candy. However, sugar is also in many foods that you wouldn't expect. I mean, it is hidden. I forget how many names sugar goes by. I want to say it's about 50 different names on ingredient lists all over the grocery store. But you think of salad dressings, condiments, sauces, breads, sandwiches, tortillas, pizza, soup, energy bars. You know, I'll never forget, you know, wearing my continuous glucose monitor on and off, you know, for about 2 years. And I still wear it every quarter. But I remember, you know, one of the fun things about wearing a CGM is that you can kind of do experiments. And one of the experiments I did, because this was a time where I was definitely doing some grab and go, and often it would be like an RX bar, or what was I considered to be a really healthy, nutrient dense protein bar. And there was not one protein bar that I tested on my continuous glucose monitor that didn't spike my blood sugar out of, I would say, at least 40 milligrams per deciliter up. So 40 points up. Yogurt as well, dairy products. And so it's just really important to look, most importantly, not only to become label savvy, but also looking at not only the ingredient list, but then also the nutrition label. And I have a whole episode where I break down how to know if a nutrition label is going to spike your blood sugar. And obviously everybody's a little bit different. We're all individualized. But basically what you're looking for, and this is a big thing that I am really focused on for my son Kingston, is I rarely buy anything with added sugar. Like if it's got added sugar in it, then it's a no-go. And so that's just something to think about. And again, if it does have added sugars, like 1 gram of added sugar, I'm definitely willing to make an exception around that depending on what it is. But if it's 5, 6, 7, 8 grams of added sugar, it is a full body no. So again, becoming label savvy, eat foods with 5 ingredients or less, or eat foods that don't need a label to begin with. Another thing I just wanted to mention, I'm currently on a new health journey. Technically, it's been going on for over a year, but I was officially diagnosed with mold illness and pretty serious mycotoxin. I don't know if you want to call it toxicity or overload. And so I'm on this very extensive mold protocol. It's a 90-day protocol. I take supplements like 8 times a day. It's extensive. And one of the things that is very imperative on this protocol is that I do not eat sugar or acellular carbs or anything processed, because mold feeds on that. Honestly, mold feeds on all organic material. I mean, if anything I've learned, because it was growing in my house, we are in the middle of a mold remediation as we speak. We're almost at the tail end of it. But just for clearing it out of my body, you know, one of the warning signs is that mold is going to go after sugar. It's going to make you crave sugar because it wants to be fed. And so my new protocol is really my detox program that I'm doing basically for 90 days so that I reduce the amount of inflammation. I really focus on healing my gut and liver, and I remove any added sugar. I mean, outside of fruit, it's a no-go for me right now so that I have a better chance of clearing all of this mold and all these mycotoxins. And so I just wanted to put that out there because most conditions, whether it's a stealth infection or it is a chronic condition, sugar just makes it worse. And sugar just gunks up the liver. Obviously with fatty liver disease, it gunks up the gut. It messes with, you know, neurotransmitters. It just messes with all kinds of things. And so it throws off our microbiome. So I just wanted to speak into how important it is when it comes to, if you are on a healing journey right now and there was a food to get rid of, I would say that sugar and alcohol are definitely in that category. I would consider them kind of in the same category in a way, that you're not further feeding inflammation and you're really giving your body an opportunity to heal. Number 2 is wheat flours. So wheat flours are another form of easily digestible carbohydrates. Unlike whole grains, which retain the germ, the bran, the endosperm of wheat, wheat flours are milled, a process that removes all of it, right? It leaves it nutrient depleted. As a result, the lack of fiber, fat, and other nutrients that occur in whole grains is gone, right? And this is even true for whole wheat flour. While it does contain some fiber, usually added back after the milling to help slowly digest it just a little bit, whole wheat flour, just like all wheat flours, including bread flour, pastry flour, all-purpose flour, cake flour, I mean, I can make the list, is just a high glycemic index food. Right, and this is the measure of how quickly and how much a food raises your blood sugar. That rapid digestion means it will likely spike your blood sugar levels pretty darn quickly. According to a 2021 systemic review comprising observational studies involving more than 36,000 people, diets composed of foods with high GI increase, so that GI index, increase the risk of metabolic syndrome, a cluster of metabolic risk factors that together are associated with significant increased risk of type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease. So how to avoid? A good option is to substitute all or most of the wheat flour in your recipes with almond, hazelnut, or coconut flour. So we mostly cook with almond flour in my house. I am gluten sensitive, particularly for my, I'm just really mindful because of my autoimmune condition. And I just really, you know, so often a lot of these flowers on the market are just oxidized and kind of yucky. And so we try to get the freshest almond flour we can get. Chickpea is another common alternative flour, but it can cause glucose spikes in some people. These flours are lower in carbs and have less pronounced effects on your blood sugar levels. Also, limit packaged snacks and bread products, like with wheat flour as a main ingredient. But I'm talking about crackers and chips, you know, anything, you know, that has, you know, breadcrumbs, that has, again, these acellular, kind of terribly broken down wheat flours. According to Levels data, even those made with flour alternatives can spike blood sugar in many people. So just be aware of the body's response. You know, when I think about when I'm consuming carbs, I'm really thinking about carbs that are vegetables, you know, cruciferous veggies, leafy greens, even potatoes can be appropriate depending on, you know, how often you have them, lentils. And so I'm thinking about, well, what type of carb is going to be supportive in terms of fiber intake, in terms of supporting my gut microbiome, and really meeting the needs of supporting my overall cellular health, so in reducing inflammation. So that's how I think about, when I think about carbs, I really want carbs to be life-giving. And there's a lot of great life-giving carbs. You know, blueberries and raspberries are huge in my household. And so we're just really mindful. Again, the packaged carbs that really get us in trouble, there are almost zero to no great crackers or great packaged carb food on the market that isn't going to lend to some metabolic issues. Number three, this one's obviously a no-brainer, but honestly, whew, it is so crazy how easy ultra-processed foods sneak into our world, sneak into our diet. I look at food journals all the time and they're just, it's here and there, but man, it adds up over time. So more than 70% of foods sold at the grocery stores in the US are ultra-processed, research shows. These foods include frozen meals, packaged snacks, granola bars, sodas, cereals, yogurts, I mean, name it. I mean, you go down an aisle and there are thousands of packaged products that have few, if any, whole food ingredients, have little nutritional value, and are full of fat, sugar, sodium, and other additives and preservatives to improve the mouthfeel, the texture, the flavor, or ultimately to extend the shelf life so that they can sit there forever. Especially dangerous are hot dogs, deli meats, and processed meats. So ultra-processed foods may contain trans fats created during the manufacturing process. Despite research showing that trans fats reduce HDL cholesterol and increase inflammation, and that a high intake is associated with type 2 diabetes and cancer, they were once widely used in many packaged foods like cakes, cookies, breads, crackers, ice cream, and snack foods. However, trans fats are now acknowledged as so dangerous that the Food and Drug Administration recently banned adding them to foods, predicting that doing so could prevent thousands of heart attacks and deaths every single year. But as you can imagine, some countries are more lax and trans fats are still lurking in foods sold in the US. Always read ingredient labels and look for trans fats or partially hydrogenated fats, which indicates their presence. Avoid foods that contain them. I'm telling you, they are still out there. So just again, it's so critical to be label savvy and to pay close attention to what the ingredients are. So how to avoid? Well, I mean, honestly, my recommendation is do an inventory. Obviously it starts at the grocery store. So avoidance is the name of the game. Don't buy it, but also do an inventory of your home, inside of your pantries, in your refrigerator. Like, what can be donated or thrown out that is just not serving you? So yeah, reduce the consumption. And choose foods in their whole natural form or minimally processed as possible, such as frozen fruits or veggies and canned beans. Also look for processed foods like canned fish or roasted nuts contain whole foods and fewer problematic ingredients. When buying frozen meals, honestly, just don't buy frozen meals. Pick those with no added sugar or trans fat, less than 600 milligrams of sodium, and lots of veggies. For example, instead of packaged cereals, opt for grain-free granola or chia pudding. I just want to pause and take a moment here because if there's anything that I've learned in the last, 15 plus years of not only teaching about nutrition, but educating myself and writing books about it and interviewing some of the best experts in the world, what it's boiled down to for me is that We all just need to spend more time in the kitchen. We all just need to make things from scratch. I think about our meal last night. So last night we bought some Yukon Gold potatoes to make homemade baked French fries. So we have a little French fry cutter, a manual cutter. And so we made those for my son. We had, you know, ketchup, but it was primal kitchen ketchup. So no sugar whatsoever, minimal ingredients in the ketchup. And then we did roasted broccoli with lemon and some garlic. We did a baked salmon and with lemon, and my husband does a really great little like herb spread on it. It's from like fresh herbs. And then I made a really beautiful, I would say, just a green salad, but like I got the most beautiful spring lettuce that was brand spanking new, got it from the farmer's market. I added avocado, lemon, salt and pepper, and that was it. Like I kept it in some fennel. I kept it super, super simple. Cause sometimes I just love a light and airy. It reminds me of like being back in France or something, just a light airy with really delicious olive oil and a vinaigrette. And so that was dinner for us, and everything was cooked. Most of it came from the farmer's market, and we made everything from scratch. And yes, did it take a little bit of extra time to do it? Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But it was worth it. And so that's kind of my mindset, is one of the commitments we've made in my home, besides being fully present as parents, the adults in the house, that is that we are going to spend the time in making food. We are going to be in the kitchen making things from scratch, batching things from scratch. Like tonight we're making these amazing, I want to say, I think it's lamb meatballs, but like this with all these herbs and like lime zest in them, super yummy, super autoimmune friendly. We're going to make some more roasted vegetables. I'm going to make another salad. And then I think my husband's making a homemade pesto. So that's what we're going to be having with dinner. I think also we're going to be roasting some spaghetti squash. And then I know my son is 3, so we will be doing bonza pasta for him, which is a chickpea pasta. It's gluten-free and it's, you know, it's got less carbs, more protein, and it kind of meets our needs. Like it's not like the best thing ever, but it's up there with, you know, as a better option. And so, yeah, we make the time and we do it. And I think I know that I won't regret spending this level of time in the kitchen every other day and every day. Like we make our son eggs every morning. We make smoothies every morning. I make homemade lunches every single morning. And, you know, I remember when I kind of first settled into, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to start making lunches and all of that. Like I was a little like, how do I do this in a way that really nourishes his body? But now it feels like second nature. It's only been, not even been a year that we've been doing that, but I put so much care and consideration into it. But to me, the quality of my son's life, the quality of his vibrance is really reliant on the type of foods that we put into his body. And so, and I know that's true for me. I know that's true for everyone in my family. And so if you show up at my house, I'm going to be making homemade raspberry chia pudding. I'm going to make homemade avocado mousse, chocolate mousse. Yeah, I'm going to make these. I'm going to make homemade banana, gluten-free, dairy-free muffins. That's just who I am. And I know that when I'm making all of this from scratch, I am controlling the ingredients. I know what's going into it. I'm putting thought and consideration into it. And to me, that changes everything. So I just wanted to just share a little bit about our own personal journey and yes, are we sacrificing doing some other things? Sure. Do we have to kind of rework our schedule to make it work? Yes. But at the end of the day, I know that the quality of our vitality and health and energy is really a result of what we're doing in the kitchen. All right. Now, speaking of being in the kitchen, I'm moving into vegetable oils and refined seed oils. So many refined vegetable and seed oils are high in omega-6 fats, as you know, and we have a major disproportionate ratio of omega-6s to omega-3s. And we know that too many omega-6s have been linked to poor metabolic health in some observational research, especially when consumed frequently. So think of your potato chips, you know, think of those kind of things. The omega-6 fatty acid that has metabolic experts most troubled is linoleic acid, Although it has been long considered essential for health, many researchers are beginning to question linoleic acid's benefits, pointing to animal studies showing that it causes insulin resistance and really leptin resistance. There is also some evidence that a high diet in linoleic acid increases inflammation, elevates the risk of cardiovascular disease, so causes, you know, endothelial inflammation, and it stimulates appetite. Again, it deregulates ghrelin and leptin. Some research suspect a causal link between high linoleic acid consumption and obesity and diabetes. Oils containing more than 20% linoleic acid include safflower oil, grapeseed oil, sunflower oil, corn oil, cottonseed oil, soybean oil, walnut oil, sesame oil, rice bran oil, peanut oil, and canola oil. And so be on the lookout of your food items, your almond milks, your creamers, your yogurts, all of your packaged food. Like, where do these oils land on the spectrum? Even your supplements. Oh, like a lot of supplements have nasty, rancid oils in them. So how to avoid? So these kinds of refined seed oils contain linoleic acid and are found in almost all ultra-processed and packaged foods. Unless you are absolutely positive they are not in the packaged food that you're buying, I just recommend avoiding it or finding an upgraded version. Luckily today, most places, or at least most kind of health story places, for us it's Whole Foods and Sprouts, and obviously we have even more kind of crunchy health stores here where I live in Northern San Diego. But I know a lot of places have upgraded versions of chips, upgraded versions of crackers, of candy, of chocolate. You know, you can get, you know, one of my favorite companies, Hue Chocolate, you know, has no emulsifier, no emulsifiers, no gums, no additives or preservatives. I mean, it's still higher sugar content than I would love. The other company that I love, that's two other chocolate companies that I love, are JoJo's and Evolved Chocolate. So Evolved Chocolate is also legit preservative, chemical, gum, emulsifier free. So again, there are upgraded versions of all of this out there. You just have to really be mindful. But even like your hummus, like look at how many of your hummuses have canola oil, or they have soybean oil or safflower oil. Take a look. Or what's another thing that I am super mindful of besides hummus is pesto. My husband was going to the grocery store with my son, and he texted me and he's like, hey, I'm going to make homemade pesto. And we often always do, but there's a couple pesto brands that are full extra virgin olive oil, legit pesto. But most pesto that you're going to find in your supermarket, including Costco or, you know, Vons or wherever you shop, it's going to be canola oil. It's going to be the main oil ingredient in that pesto. So again, just be paying attention. Look closely at your sauces and your pasta sauce, your pestos, because you'll think like, oh, I'm making this really healthy decision. I'm getting pesto. It's got olive oil. It's got basil. It's got pine nuts. It's super healthy. And then you realize that the third ingredient is canola oil. So again, be mindful. We are super mindful when it comes to these things. And at the end of the day, we just will make it from scratch. That's what we'll do. And I have an amazing pesto recipe in my last book, The EO Menopause Solution. Number five is fast food, which ultimately is also ultra-processed foods. I mean, let's just call it. By their very nature, most fast foods are insanely ultra-processed. You know, it doesn't get any more processed than this. Loaded with refined flours, fats, salts, and tons of hidden sugar, often engineered to be extremely addictive. According to continuous glucose monitor data, McDonald's and Chick-fil-A are two of the worst foods for blood sugar spikes, and no wonder. Whether you choose a chicken sandwich or a cheeseburger, you're getting a dose of a lot of added sugar in every single bite. You'll find it in the buns, the chicken, and the condiments. It's basically in everything. Recent research from Asia reveals what happens when a population starts rapidly increasing the amount of fast food in their diets. You see diabetes rates skyrocket. In a 2015 research review directly implicating frequent fast food consumption with abdominal, visceral belly fat, impaired insulin function, and systemic inflammation, key markers. I mean, like the biomarkers for metabolic disease. And consider this, the raw ingredients used to make super cheap fast food are rarely, if ever, sourced from producers whose primary concerns are organic, sustainable, humane, or ethical farming practices, right? None of that's a concern. And because of that, it has important implications for your health over time. So how to avoid? So this is something that we are big in because, you know, we've just lived out of a suitcase for the past 2.5 weeks while we were going through mold remediation. And if you're traveling or you're living at a hotel or you're on vacation, I recommend traveling with your own snacks from home. So again, as I mentioned, we were displaced from our home from April 3rd to around April 19th. And we're going to get kicked out another couple of days next week. And I don't exactly know when. And we lived out of suitcases, jumping from vacation condos to hotels while we waited for this remediation and mold testing to be complete in our home. And that's the crazy thing is that, you know, when it comes to something like mold remediation and testing, you just don't know. Like, if anyone's ever done a remodel, like you know, you're told it's going to be a week and then it's 2 weeks, you know, so it's been very challenging, but ultimately we've made it work. And one of the focuses for our family was to eat nutrient dense foods. So we made sure that we had a decent sized fridge everywhere we stayed that actually really worked. We stocked the fridge with fresh fruits, veggies, avocado, chia seeds, nuts. Some of this was on the counter. It wasn't all in the refrigerator. Protein powder. So we had really clean bone broth protein powder to make smoothies. I brought my Vitamix, greens, frozen cauliflower, frozen veggies so I could put into the smoothies. And then protein options like eggs, turkey sausage, grass-fed beef for burgers. I mean, kind of the list went on. You kind of get the point. It was important to me that we ate nutrient-dense foods, even when it was a bit harder to do, because I will always choose the hard that keeps me and my family thriving, especially when we're recovering from mold. So I think it's really important that, you know, no matter where you go, whether you're getting on an airplane or you're heading to a business trip or whatever it may be, and pretend like you're a parent to a toddler all over again, like pack the snacks, pack the healthy snacks so that you aren't tempted because you're hangry because you were traveling and you were not prepared. So after hearing this list, I'm sure that you are not surprised, but maybe the research connecting these food-like substances to disease was pretty game-changing for you. Or maybe you're even thinking to yourself like, man, honestly, like a lot of these foods have kind of crept in because life is full and busy and, you know, I just am off my game. And here's the thing, we all know that these foods are bad for us, especially when we consistently eat them in our weekly diet. From a bag of chips at lunch a few times a week to a mocha latte and a muffin every Sunday morning, it adds up and it drives a feeling of sluggishness and brain fog, right? You just don't feel as great. And it can be hard to remove these foods from your diet. And believe me, I know, because many of these foods were staples of mine growing up, well into my 20s and even early 30s. If you are looking to break ties with some of these food categories and experience a major metabolic upgrade, the kind of upgrade that significantly reduces inflammation, heals your gut and liver, and helps to take stubborn inflammatory belly fat off for good. Because the critical truth is detoxification and weight loss are inseparable, especially for women in midlife. Oftentimes, we need a gentle detox reset to get our metabolism and health back on track. And that's why this is my invitation to you to join me and hundreds of other people in participating in my 14-day detox reset. Again, it's specifically designed to heal your gut and liver, help to balance out your blood sugar, and to get your biomarkers back into range so that the symptoms that are being driven because of these issues start to reset and go away. Now, if you want to learn more, as I mentioned earlier, check out the program at drmarisa.com/detox. Again, I will have the link in the show notes. And this gut and liver and inflammation reset and ultimately elimination protocol has changed my life on multiple occasions. And as I mentioned earlier, I'm currently doing it again to help aid myself in healing from this mold illness. And honestly, getting my Hajimoto's back into remission. I mean, that's really the reason why I knew it was mold, is that my Haji's flared up so badly. And there was really no reason for that to have happened. Mold has hit me so hard this past year, and I am barely crawling out of it. But thank goodness I am. And anchoring to this program for 90 days is a big part of my healing strategy, as it has been for many years in the past. So if you're feeling like you need a program to anchor to while you are healing from a current health condition, I do highly recommend giving this amazing detox a try and continuing it for more than 14 days. You know, sometimes when people are really going through it, I recommend a 30-day protocol. You just continue it for 30 days. For me, I have found phenomenal results when I do this for 90 days. Again, 14 days is a great amount of time to make some massive shifts. But if you do have something that you are tending to right now with your body, it may be worthwhile doing it even longer. So I hope that, again, this was just a beautiful reminder to do a survey, to become more aware of what you're shopping and doing, what you're putting into your family's bodies, what you're putting into your body, whether you are eating out or you're traveling or you just had a really long day on Friday or a very, very long week. I know that life happens to us. I get it. And we can still really nourish our body and really set ourselves up to win when we are focusing on the foods that are going to really love us and take care of us. And so the other thing I want to give you besides a link to the 14-day detox is I have a liver guide that's got all of my favorite liver-loving foods and liver-loving recipes. So if you wanted a place to start, a first step, that is a beautiful place to start. I've been really relying on a lot of those foods right now because my liver is doing such a heavy lift by getting rid of all of this mold. All right, well, if you loved this episode, please subscribe to the show and take a moment and rate the show. It only takes a couple of seconds, and that way more women who are going through the midlife experience or just going through the hormone experience, which is all of us, can find the show and get the answers that they're looking for. Until the next episode, have an amazing day.